Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
We are going to travel in today's program. We're actually going to the United States of America. In fact, the largest city in the United States of America. I'm talking about New York City.
We are. We're talking about New York or the Big Apple. Talking about its origin, who discovered the New York area. And also in our program in the following day, we're going to talk about what you want to go see, perhaps, some suggestions if you've never been to New York. So it'll be fun for me to talk about it, of course.
Exactly. So we're going to take a bite out of the Big Apple. It's referred to as the Big Apple. It's a nickname. And I guess if you take a bite out of it, hey, you enjoy it as if you're eating a nice big apple from Washington State. Okay, let's get to it, everybody. Let's read through the entire content of our lesson for today, and then we'll come back to talk about it.
As you step out of Grand Central Station, it seems as if you have entered a new world. The symphony of car horns honking and thousands of feet pounding the pavement fills your ears. Immediately, your nostrils take in the smell of mustard-soaked hot dogs from a nearby street vendor. Looking up, you are dazzled by the neon signs advertising the hottest fashion brands on the planet. It's been said that if you can make it here, you'll make it anywhere. You're in New York City. The New York area was originally discovered by Europeans in 1524, yet it was the Dutch who first settled in the city, which they named New Amsterdam. In what was known as the Deal of the Century, the Dutch purchased the land from the Indians with goods worth 60 guilders, about 1,000 U.S. dollars now. But the city would not be in Dutch hands for very long. In 1664, it was conquered by the British and renamed New York in honor of England's Duke of York. With a superb port location and bustling business opportunities, New York quickly gained economic influence and became a key center for trading. After the American Revolution, the city continued to flourish as a financial center and was chosen as the first capital city of the United States. During the 1800s, the legend of New York began to spread around the world. Millions of immigrants seeking religious freedom and economic opportunity sailed to New York in search of a new life.
Okay, everybody, the time has arrived for us to discuss today's featured article, Taking a Bite Out of the Big Apple, Day 1. Now, one possible way you might arrive in New York City is through Grand Central Station. It's been a while since I've been to New York, so I can't remember exactly where that place is. But a lot of trains come into that place. And if you have arrived by train at Grand Central Station, you will be stepping out of there, and it will seem as if you entered a new world, okay? Because New York is a very hustle-bustle kind of place. We've got some examples of all the activity going on there. We've got the symphony of car horns honking and thousands of feet pounding the pavement. Those will all fill your ears. Symphony here, when I, of course, see the word symphony, I think of a symphony orchestra playing classical music, a Beethoven, Mozart symphony or something like that. But if you talk about a lot of sounds sounding at the same time and forming one kind of collective sound, we would call this a symphony of something. In this case, it's a symphony of car horns. You hear car horns from taxis, from cars, from buses, from bicycles. You hear them all over the place. And so it's like a symphony, all this kind of music, all this kind of noisy, actually.
Yeah, you couldn't remember where Grand Central Station is. It's around 42nd Street and Madison. It's kind of a cool place if you haven't been there before. When you walk in, it just feels like history there. It's beautiful. It's one of the things they haven't changed very much, and it's quite lovely. So it's a fun place to go and see. The one thing about New York is that it's noisy. It sounds like it has pleasant sounds because we're using symphony, which usually is associated with beautiful music. But it is noisy in that city. They honk constantly, especially the cab drivers. So it's a noisy place to live and hard to sleep there if you have an apartment. but it's an exciting place because there's lots going on. You're going to be seeing a lot of people walking. A lot of people walk around New York. It's faster sometimes than waiting for a bus or even taking the subway. Taking the subway during the summer is so nasty because there's no air conditioning down there that I would just prefer to walk outside because at least you have a breeze. So just picture yourself. That's what this first paragraph is like. Picture yourself actually there on the streets of New York. You might smell mustard-soaked hot dogs as you're on the pavement. That's the sidewalk that you're walking along. Your nostrils are the two holes that you have in your nose that we breathe through. Those are your nostrils. So you're breathing in the smell of mustard-soaked hot dogs.
Right. And I guess pretzels or hot dogs in New York will have mustard on them, so you can smell the mustard. It's quite a strong smelling. Uh-huh. And, of course, you can get them from street vendors. They have them all over New York City, especially in very busy places. And looking up, you are dazzled by the neon signs advertising the hottest fashion brands on the planet. This might actually be referring to Times Square, which is, not exactly on 42nd. It's more like, 46th Street or so, or 44th?
No, it is 42nd, but it's Broadway, which is very much to the west of Grand Central Station. Grand Central Station is considered to be more on the east side because it's between 6th and Madison. So, yeah, it's on the east side.
Right, and of course, where all these neon lights are is in that central Times Square area, which is where all the theaters are, and they're going to have all these neon signs there. They'll be advertising all the hottest fashion brands on the planet. It's quite a spectacular place, lots of lights there, and it's been said that if you can make it here, you'll make it anywhere. You're in New York City. Here, to make it means to become successful. If you try a career or something and you're successful, you get a job in your career and it's pretty stable, you have made it.
Now let's take a look at some of the earlier vocabulary words like dazzled. If you're dazzled by something, it means something really impresses you. It gives you the idea that it's kind of cool to look at. I know some of the performers today in music, like Lady Gaga, they love to dazzle their audiences by doing something that's really surprising, kind of exciting. My parents used to tell me about Elvis dazzling the audiences when he sang. He was kind of exciting. And those neon signs that we were talking about, neon just means a type of gas that is used in these brightly colored electronic signs that light up. We have a lot of neon signs here too in Taiwan, which are kind of fun. And so it's just kind of a place that gets your attention. And that line, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, is from the famous song called New York, New York.
Which, Frank Sinatra?
And Liza Minnelli, which, if you're a Yankees fan, you know is played after every single home baseball game. So if the Yankees win, they'll play the Frank Sinatra version, and if the Yankees lose, they play Liza's version, which is kind of interesting.
I think if I were Liza Minnelli, I'd be kind of upset about that. But in any case here, yes, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, even in Taipei. Well, the New York area was originally discovered by Europeans way back in 1524. We're now talking about the history of New York or the New York area. So it was discovered by the Europeans way back in 1524, although it was the Dutch who first settled in the city, and they named it New Amsterdam. So the Dutch, that refers to people from Holland. They were in the New World there. Actually, I have ancestors from Holland who settled in not New York, but actually New Jersey in the late 1500s, early 1600s.
Cool.
So, the Dutch settled in that area, and they called this place New Amsterdam. And that was known as the deal of the century, wasn't it?
Deal of the century means it was a really good deal. It was the best deal over that 100-year period. Why was it such a good deal or a good bargain? Well, the Dutch were able to purchase this area from the Indians. Those are the Native Americans who had lived there for millions of years, right? They purchased the land from the Indians for goods worth 60 guilders. Now, we don't use guilders, but that amount of money translates to $1,000 in present-day money terms.
Adjusted for inflation.
So they got all of that area for $1,000.
Right. So, yeah, the Indians got some money, which they probably spent pretty quickly, and they disappeared, and the city took over and became, gee whiz, it became the most expensive piece of real estate on the planet. Although Tokyo might have higher prices, I'm not sure. But the city would not be in Dutch hands for very long. In the year 1664, which was not too much long later, it was conquered by the British and renamed New York in honor of England's Duke of York. There is a city in England called York, and I guess the guy in charge of York was the Duke of York, and he was a good guy. And when the British took over New Amsterdam, they said, hey, we're going to not call this place New Amsterdam anymore. Let's name it after that great guy in York there, the Duke of York. We're going to call our new city New York.
When you conquer something, you take control of a country or a city. Usually it's through the use of force or a military that comes in and says, we're taking this. This is ours. Your city or your country now belongs to us. And that's what happened when the British came in. They conquered the Dutch. They took the land and they kicked the Dutch out. And then they had the right to rename this area. And that's what they did. So the name stuck. It's still New York, as most of you know. And they named it in honor of someone. In honor of just means they really liked this England Duke who, we want to kind of honor him, give him respect by actually using his name for this new area. And that's what they did. We're going to talk about why this particular area is so valuable and why they were lucky to get their hands on it. But first, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, 大家好, I'm Tim. 今天要讨论的课程是 travel, 旅游。我们要带大家去全美国最大的城市纽约。首先我们看到第一段的第一句。As you step out of Grand Central Station, it seems as if you have entered a new world. 这边的 Grand Central Station 指的就是纽约的中央车站。这边作者用了 as if 来表示仿佛好像的意思。As if 除了在常见的假设语气之外，当 as if 表达的内容被看作是事实或者是有可能是事实的时候，就需要使用陈述语气配合事件发生时的时态。这时的句型为主词加上动词加上 as if 以及它引导的子句，例如 The sky is getting dark. It seems as if it's going to rain. 天空越来越黑，看起来就好像要下雨了。作者用 as if 来表示当你搭车来到纽约，走出车站的时候，仿佛就来到了一个新的世界。而这个世界是怎么样的情景呢？后面一句提到 The symphony of car horns honking and thousands of feet pounding the pavement fills your ears.你的耳里充满了交响乐般的车鸣声，同时人行道上也传来了成千的脚步声。Symphony 这个字一般是用来指向交响乐团所演奏的交响曲，不过这边作者则是将纽约路上此起彼落的喇叭声跟脚步声比喻为交响曲。让我们来举个例子。 As I walk through the park, I enjoy the symphony of singing birds and rustling leaves.表示当我走过公园的时候，我很享受鸟鸣声以及树叶的沙沙声所交织而成的声音。前面的部分是描述当你来到了纽约，你会听到的声音，属于听觉的感官。接着我们要看看你到了这边可能会闻到什么，看到什么。第三句的地方提到 Immediately your nostrils take in the smell of mustard-soaked hot dogs from a nearby street vendor. 表示到了这个地方，马上你的鼻孔就会闻到附近小贩贩卖的热狗上面淋满了芥末。句中的 nostril 表示的就是鼻孔，作者在这边刻意不用 nose 鼻子这个字，而用 nostril 更可以凸显出鼻子吸入香味时的画面。接着讲完嗅觉的部分就要讲视觉了。后面一句 Looking up, you are dazzled by the neon signs advertising the hottest fashion brands on the planet. 当你在街上抬头一望，霓虹灯的招牌上广告的都是全球最新潮的流行品牌，让你看得眼花缭乱。首先我们看看这个句子其实是一个分词构句， 原本的句型应该是 When you look up, you are dazzled by the neon signs advertising the hottest fashion brands on the planet. 在这个句子中，副词子句和主要子句的主词相同时，我们可以省略连接词 when 以及副词子句的主词 you， 因为是主动语态，我们可以将 look 改为 looking， 因此就成为了分词构句。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's continue talking about New York City, the history of New York. Remember, it was discovered by Europeans back in 1524. The Dutch first settled there and they called the place New Amsterdam. They bought it for some, what did they do? They purchased the land from the Indians for goods worth 60 guilders or about 1,000 US dollars now. But the Dutch did not have possession of New York for very long. In 1664, the British came and conquered the place and renamed it New York in honor of the Duke of York. Although there are some, still some signs of the Dutch being there in some of the names of New York City, like is it Stuyvesant or something, named after Lord Stuyvesant of Holland, and I think there's an avenue in Brooklyn called New Utrecht Avenue. Utrecht, of course, is a city in Holland. And then also, what's the other one I was thinking of? Brooklyn itself was named after some town in Holland.
Well, there's a highway that you'll always hear if you're listening to traffic reports. It's called the Van Wyck, the Van Wyck Highway. Actually, I was listening to a live broadcast because you can get the radio on the internet now, and somebody was saying the Van Wyck. And I thought, oh, he must be new to New York because they all call it the Van Wyck. Anyway, it still has some of the names. It does, yeah. Stuyvesant, I think you're thinking of something. I can't quite remember, but
Bedford. Well, they're kind of together there. But in any case here, yes, the Dutch were there, then the British were there, and they controlled it for a long time. And, well, New York actually grew at that point because it has a superb port location. So with a superb port location and bustling business opportunities, New York quickly gained economic influence and became a key center for trading. New York has a superb port location. Superb means perfect. It's ideal. It's excellent. Superb. You might drink some really fine oolong tea and you go, ooh, this tea is superb. It's the best tea I've ever tasted.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's excellent. I like that word a lot. If you have a port, it's a place where ships come in and dock. So it's a great place to do trade because a lot of goods that and services, actually goods that we get from other countries, come in through ports. Like Geelong and Kaohsiung have ports.
Mm.
So there's a lot of trade that's done through shipping. And so that's a very important part of the location. Bustling, Tom mentioned it's a bustling kind of city. Bustle just means to go around in a very quick way, to move. There's a lot of activity. There's a lot of hustle and bustle around Christmas time. Here in New York, as shoppers are trying to get gifts bought last minute. So there are a lot of people walking quickly. One of the things that was frustrating to me living there, going to work, was all the tourists that got in your way. I'd feel like, get out of the way, you're too slow. I'm walking fast.
You guys are just too uptight there in New York. Hey, you're being ungrateful for all those tourist dollars that they're bringing in. But in any case here, New York, because of its superb port location and bustling business opportunities in the New World, hey, NYC, New York, quickly gained economic influence. Influence here is the effect that you have on others so much that you change them. If you have an effect on someone's character or their development or their behavior, we could say you're having an influence on that person or on that thing.
So it then became a key center for trade, which isn't surprising at all. After the American Revolution, which is the big war that America had to get its freedom from England, that was in the 1700s, the last part of that century, The city continued to flourish as a financial center. So after the war ended, if you say something is flourishing, it just means it's doing very well, it's healthy, it's successful, and it became a very important place because it was then a financial center. Actually, it's still referred to as the financial center of the world, and that's Wall Street that we're talking about, where a lot of banks and bankers are giving out loans and doing big deals. That's an important part of our economy there in New York is Wall Street and the financial district. It was then chosen as the first capital city of the United States, not Washington, D.C. That came later. New York was the first capital of the whole country.
But in any case, New York was the capital, I suppose, of the colonies there. And during the 1800s, the legend of New York began to spread around the world. If you talk about something having a legend, that means it has a big story about it. People have heard about this thing. It may be true, it may not be true. Usually it's true, though, but it's a traditional story that people tell, and, of course, it's about something historical, although nobody really knows for sure if it's true. It's probably true, but maybe not, and we're talking about the legend of New York. Let me back up here and first talk about the word capital. New York was chosen as the first capital city of the United States. So capital, of course, is the city in a country where the government is based, where the central government is located. So nowadays, of course, the capital of the United States is in Washington, D.C. The capital of Canada is in Ottawa. It's Canberra in Australia, Tokyo in Japan, etc. Those are all capital cities.
Now, because of the legend of New York and people hearing about how life was so great there, you could become wealthy very quickly there. There was a lot of freedom. People around the world who were living in less successful countries, you could say, decided to go over to the United States and see if they could have that kind of success. Some of these immigrants, an immigrant is a person who goes to another country to live there, they were looking for religious freedom. They wanted to attend whatever church they wanted to go to and not be given difficulties with their lives. There were some countries where you couldn't even worship the way you wanted to. They were looking for religious freedom. Other people just wanted a better life. They wanted to be able to work hard, and as hard as they work, they could actually become more wealthy. There are some countries, if you were born poor, you stayed poor. But in America, you could be born poor, but if you work hard and you're smart, you could become very wealthy and successful. That's what they wanted, so they got on these ships, and they sailed to New York because they were looking for a new life.
Right. And initially, of course, the immigrants were coming from Europe, okay, different countries in Europe, from England, Germany, and other places. But nowadays, immigration has kind of changed around a little bit. We've got people coming from, all over the world. Most of them are coming from south of the border, from Mexico and countries beyond. But we've also got immigrants coming over from Asia as well. So people who move from one country to another to live are immigrants. Although I would not consider myself an immigrant to Taiwan for various reasons that I'm not going to get into, but in any case, I don't think the people of Taiwan would consider me an immigrant either. They just still would consider me a good old Waiguoren, no matter how long I stay here. But in the United States, immigrants were going to the United States for various reasons, to seek religious freedom, economic opportunity, and they were in search of a new life.
Yeah, it wasn't always easy because they first landed, they didn't have a lot of money, but those that worked hard and were smart got ahead and were able to find some happiness. If you're in search of something, you're looking for something, they were in search of a new life and happiness. A lot of these immigrants never returned to their former countries. They just stayed in the United States and made their lives there. So it's kind of an interesting city to go to. If you take a tour, you can see areas where these immigrants first settled, and that's always fun to look into a history in any city, actually. I love that.
It's pretty cool. Well, we'll continue talking about the Big Apple in our next program, but right now we'd like to finish our lesson by listening to our Chinese teacher.
好，然而纽约这个地方究竟是如何变得繁荣的呢？第二段的最后一个句子提到 With a superb port location and bustling business opportunities, New York quickly gained economic influence and became a key center for trading. 我们都知道纽约作为一个岛屿，它的位置其实非常的好，岛上的商业活动也相当的活络，也就是因为这样子，纽约很快就取得经济的势力，成为商业的贸易中心。句中的一个生字 superb 这个形容词就表示是卓越的、一流的，重音在第一个音节，而且拼法很特别，同学不要跟我们常见的 super S-U-P-E-R 给搞混了。而这个字可以怎么使用呢？现在很多选秀节目可能有你支持的歌手，他的声音非常的棒，英文你就可以讲说 The singer has a superb voice， 表示他的声音很棒。接下来我们看到第三段的第一句，After the American Revolution, the city continued to flourish as a financial center and was chosen as the first capital city of the United States. 在美国独立战争之后，身为金融中心的纽约持续繁荣，同时也被选为美国的第一个首府。这边的一个动词 flourish 就表示是繁荣茂盛的，除了可以用来形容经济的情况之外，也可以用来形容像植物，比如某些植物在热带的国家才会长得比较茂盛，英文就可以说 This type of plant only flourishes in hot countries。 而后面我们看到另外一个生字 capital， 这个字名词表示是首都、首府的意思，例如 Taipei is the capital city of Taiwan， 就表示台北是台湾的首都。而这个字当名词还有另外一个意思，是表示资本、资金的意思，例如假设有一个人叫杰克，他想用20万台币作为资金开创自己的事业，英文就可以讲说 Jack set up his business with a capital of 200,000 NT dollars。 接着看到第三段的最后一句， Millions of immigrants seeking religious freedom and economic opportunities sailed to New York in search of a new life， 意思就表示有数百万寻求宗教自由以及经济机会的移民乘船了来到纽约，追寻他们的新生活。这边的 seeking 其实等于 who seek， 作者在这边省略了关系代名词 who， 而因为它是主动语态，所以 seek 就改为了 seeking。
Okay everybody, that brings us to the end of our program for today. Thank you for joining us, and make sure you join us again next time. For English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye. Bye.